ミュージックメディ
ス。 Yora, it's Glenn here from Music, Movies and Madness, introducing another great episode for you all. I'm joined by David and Martin this evening, and Ian may be joining us a little bit later. G'day, guys.
Hello.
G'day, mate.
That's a bit presumptuous saying that this is a great episode. We're only 20 seconds in. You're a bit out of crap.
David's right. I mean, here we go. I mean, David's like, you've got to back yourself. And Martin's like, yeah, it could be shit. Oh, and I'll be pleasantly surprised if it isn't.
There you go.
Oh, no. Oh, well, let's aim high and have a talk about bands that may have been on the path to greatness or maybe not, or just no one ever heard of them. So the theme for this week's episode, listeners, is called The Late Greats. And it's based on a song, I heard it popped up on one of my playlists by Wilco, a band that I used to listen to heaps back in the day. Their song's called The Late Greats, and basically the song says the best songs have never been written, or the best songs have never been played, and they're never going to be played on the radio. And it's just a silly, throwaway, fun song. And it got me thinking, what about sort of bands that and artists that maybe didn't get their dues or broke up before they were going to get big, for example? Or alternatively, it could be just an artist that we really like that we want to shine a spotlight on because we haven't played them much on the podcast. So pretty loose sort of an agenda, but you know what? I'm okay with that. Yeah. What did you guys think of the loose agenda? Too loose? Or
It was a tough one in that, you know, there's so many artists that I think coming from the UK as well, artists that kind of made it reasonably big over there, but probably didn't make any ripples at all over here and vice versa. So knowing what's like, what hit and what didn't hit and was a little ambiguous. But I've got three that I don't think any of you guys have probably have heard of it before.
Brilliant. I was thinking about that because another band that popped up on my playlist, and I haven't chosen them, is the Manic Street Preachers. I don't think the Manics made it particularly big in New Zealand at all. I don't think they have ever come out this way. I really like the Manic Street Preachers, particularly stuff probably in the 90s, late 90s, 2000s. But again, I think they're an institution back in Wales, but certainly not here. Would that be one of those type of examples, Martin?
Spot on, yeah. The other one of the ones I was looking at, I didn't choose them, but because I think I'll probably save them for another show, it was The Divine Comedy. Again, didn't make it big over here, but their stuff is just sublime. They're an amazing... The singer-songwriter is just an amazing writer. Brilliant stuff.
Fabulous. Now, David, what about you? How did you find the scope? Oh, my gosh. I've been obviously doing far too much work at the moment. I've got bloody work, what's the word?
Jargon.
Flowing out of me at the moment. Oh, my goodness.
I kind of had a couple fall into my lap, so I was a bit more fortunate. I did start going through my LPs and stuff online that I've sort of collected into playlists, and but then I had a couple of gems just sort of fall out of the air and land in my lap, and I thought, you know, I'm gonna give these guys a bit of due because I think they've got some killer tracks, and I'm all for a bit of local talent. So I've been quite fortunate this week.
Excellent. All right. Well, why don't you go first, then we'll hear from Martin with one of his ones after that.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right. So the first one I'm going to do, I've chosen two quite different acts. The first one is a bit of a sneak peek into a band that we're going to have a chance to have a chat to the drummer in a few weeks' time called Bullet Belt. And Steve Francis is the drummer and sort of the front man for the band from a PR sort of angle. And I thought, well, I'll have a look at a couple of his tunes or their tunes and see what they sound like. And I've picked a couple that are a bit more ballad-like than sort of black metal, which is their, you know, predominant genre. And, you know, tracks... tracks like, what have they got here? There's one that's called Mutilate and Destroy. I've kind of steered away from that tonight. We'll let Steve sort of take us through that when he comes on the show in a few weeks' time. But I've gone for this wee track here called Cosmic from their album of the same title. Cosmic, I think it's a neat little tune. Got a bit of a piano intro, Martin, so you'll appreciate it. But this is Bullet Belt, Cosmic. And that's Cosmic, a bit of a throwback, might I say, to the 90s, I reckon. Sounds very,
I agree,
very
I agree with that. I wasn't expecting that. I thought it was going to be much heavier than that, based on your intro.
Oh, yeah. No, I've gone for a couple of the more ballad types. They've got quite a varied selection, but they do have they have the full gambit when it comes to black metal, thrash metal, death metal, all that sort of genre. So but yeah, Cosmic, I quite like that tune, but that's enough from me. So it's Cosmic from Cosmic by Bullet Belt. That's my first track. Local Wellington band too, which is pretty cool.
And you were saying that they're going to be Steve's going to be on in a couple of weeks.
Steve's all good to come on and have a chat with us about a few of their projects they've got coming up. So
how good's that? Brilliant. All right, over to the UK, Martin.
Well, yeah, and funnily enough, I've not chosen a UK band to start us off tonight. So I've gone with an American band, band called The Explorers Club. And there's actually two bands with a very similar name. One is actually a progressive rock band called Explorers Club, and then there's The Explorers Club, which is what I'm going to play tonight, which is a bit different. So these guys are, I guess you'd describe them as a kind of pop rock, I guess, would be the way to describe it. They've done several albums. This was, but the one I really want to focus on is their very first album, which is called Freedom Wind. And it's released in 2008. They've kind of changed styles from album to album, but this first one for me just stands out. They're influenced by a certain 1960s pop band, who I'm not going to name, but see if you can pick up the influence from the song.
Oh, So Martin, if the Beach Boys and the Ronettes had a love child, that would be it, wouldn't it?
Sure would. I got to say, I can't even remember where I first discovered this album, but I fell in love with it like instantly as soon as I heard that. This is the first track on the album as well. And the whole album's like this. It's very Beach Boys influenced. Those vocal harmony thing, I'm a sucker for that anyway. It's just great, this record. Such a summery record as well. As I said, that song's called Forever, and it's the first song on the album, Freedom Wind. Yeah, by the Explorers Club. Definitely worth a check.
What year, mate?
2008.
Oh my gosh.
You're kidding me.
No.
Wow.
And that's what just like threw me when I heard it. I was just like, oh my God, I've just come back in time. It was crazy. Yeah, so well done. And in fact, on one of the later albums, they actually got one of the Beach Boys producers to actually do the album. But but they have kind of changed styles through different songs. There's bits of like Beatles in there. There's some zombies. There's some monkeys. There's the birds in there. So they're very much of that sort of 60s kind of influence. But the harmonies in this are just sublime. Yeah, brilliant album. Well, worth checking out. And that's my first one.
Fantastic. Oh, wow. I wouldn't have picked that from 2008. No way. Oh, fabulous. Good evening, Ian. How are you?
I'm good. How are yous?
Okay. Yeah, good.
Good.
We've just been listening to something a little bit old. Well, oldish.
Sounded it.
What have you got for us first up?
Well, yeah. Funny enough, I went American, and Irish. So the first choice I went with a lady called Island Jewel. And I think I'm pronouncing that right. I'm not sure. There's not a lot about her written on sort of Google, Wikipedia. She's American singer-songwriter, born in Idaho. She's actually released 13 albums. I listen to two of these albums constantly over kind of, you know, through a month or a couple of weeks. The first album is Downhearted Blues. That came out in 2017. Second album is Gypsy, came out in 2019, and she's a singer-songwriter. And I'll give you this little track off the Gypsy album, Island Jewel. Here you go.
One of these old days, I'm gonna lay me down by the river, babe, on the lonesome ground. By the river, babe, on the lonesome ground. Let that cold water roll me round and round. Let that cold water roll.
Pretty smooth.
Yeah, it's a neat little album. They're both I haven't heard the other 15, but those two albums are they are real nice singer-songwriter kind of, yeah, nothing heavy, just nice, and you can play them a lot and they're good. So check out here, Island Jewel.
That voice is kind of similar to Janice, but it's sort of softer. It's a bit softer than Janice. But yeah, it's definitely that sort of 60, late 60s vibe to it.
Yeah, she the Downhearted Blues album, that's a real tasty album. If you like a bit of bluesy stuff. Yeah, it's a little bit Eva Cassidy, but without the lungs. More mellow, more control. Very nice. Yeah, real nice artist, I reckon, to check out. And she always pops up. I don't know if she's that famous or whatever, but in the barber shop, if I'm ever stuck, I'll bang that on and people will always say, man, that sounds nice.
Sweet. It's good to have those go-tos, especially for that sort of context.
Yeah, they're not normally my kind of thing, but man, it's just good.
I'd hate to think what I would choose if I was in a situation like that. You'd be quite stuck quickly, I reckon.
8 hours of music a day is a lot of music.
Yeah, yeah. Too much of a good thing in some ways, eh? All right. I'm picking a band now from the 60s, a band called The Remains. Have you guys heard of The Remains before? All right. Well, let me play one of their songs and I'll tell you their story. So this one's called Why Do I Cry?
My fault. Okay. This is a little tune I wrote. It's called Why Do I Cry?
Yeah, so Why Do I Cry by The Remains, a band that broke up before their debut record came out. Not an ideal start to a career. they were popular in probably only one state in America, New England, and they did manage to make one record and have a moderate hit. They were booked to go on things like The Ed Sullivan Show and it didn't work out. And so they broke up and nobody really heard much about them ever again. Then there was this really cool compilation album called The Nuggets, compilation of garage band and sort of, I think they call it 60s psychedelic, but it's more garage bands. And it's one of the legendary sort of compilations. And there's a couple of songs, including that one, on that. But how I ended up listening to it is it's an album called A Session with the Remains. It's mostly standards, but on their own sort of style of sort of that, like you've just heard. And I was in the middle of real groovy Auckland and one Sunday morning and it was playing. And I was like, is this band? It sounded raw and interesting. I think I picked up the CD for about $14. Yeah, it's quite fun. And it's called A Session with the Remains, and that's the one that I own, along with the Nuggets one as well. And I think the lead singer or the went on to play with other acts, but that was it really. That was the end of it, and the Remains were barely together before they even started.
It has a similar feel to the Zombies, right? They had a bit of a I think they might have got a little bit further, but they weren't around very long. They certainly weren't around to enjoy their success.
No.
Poor man.
Same with the Remains. After that compilation came out in the 70s, some members of the band called themselves The Remains, and then there was Barry and The Remains trying to capitalize on it. So it was kind of funny, but that one album in the studio, just sort of them just playing. Sounds really cool. I love it.
Sounds a bit Vanilla Fudgy as well, eh? Remember Jason Murphy mentioned Vanilla Fudge?
Yes.
Mm.
Yep, you're right. Nice. I thought that was quite a funny story. It's not funny for them, but oh well. Oh dear. Anyway, we've got the Remains left, so that's fine. All right, David, save me from these people.
Save you. I don't know if I can do that, mate. But I will give you my second track from Bullet Belt. This is Cloak the Night, released last year on album of the same name. It's a long track, five odd minutes, but I'm just gonna play the intro. So Again, it's a bit more ballady. This is not the the heavy stuff. So, like the night. There you have it.
Oh, I'm waiting for that to just go.
Yeah, I'm it doesn't.
Some drop D goodness.
Yeah.
I thought it
yeah,
might
I'm
too.
Waiting for it, eh?
No, I mean,
these guys are rock band.
Well, okay, look, here we go. Just
kill it.
Just put us out of misery.
Anyhow, that's mutilate. That's what I was... mutilate and destroy.
That's
I like that one better. That's way better.
I was waiting for it to build, and then that to erupt. Oh, hilarious.
I'm possibly the only death metal track to have a wood block on it as well, I think. <That's> quite impressive.
Sure, I got a cowbell in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, does that make them a folk band if they've got a wood block?
They opened for Sepultura. They opened for Sepultura when they toured New Zealand.
Jesus.
So I don't know if they do cowbells all the time. They probably wouldn't have been allowed. But a varied genre. But yeah, a lot, and male and female vocalists, so they sort of mix it up a bit. But there's a bit of Cloak the Night with Mutilate and Destroy on the end, just for good measure.
Nice.
Back to you, Glenn.
That was awesome. I was just waiting for it to hit. Oh, this is going to be fantastic. I'm looking forward to having them on.
Mm.
Brilliant. Martin, where do you go after that?
Oh, where indeed? Well, you go to the States, don't you, again? And you go Americana country. That's where you go. I've gone with an artist called Margot Price.
Oh, yes. Nice.
And, you've heard of her? Awesome. Yeah. I'm not sure. It was from one of our other shows that I ended up going down this rabbit hole of like looking at like Americana kind of artists and discovered Margot Price. She's typically kind of a country singer, but her latest couple of albums have actually gone a bit psychedelic, dare I say it. And this is a track from a recent one, came out I think last year, called Strays. And she's recently released Strays Volume 2 as well, but I haven't managed to catch hold of that one yet. And this is a track called Time Machine, which sounds a bit like this.
Places I never knew. I wanna find what's happening in
what I'd call that, but it certainly ain't country.
No, it's pop. It's a form of pop, isn't it? Whether it's, what would you call it? Bubblegum pop. No, something very light.
Yeah. But vocally, she's got a little bit of like a Sheryl Crow-y kind of country thing going on. But I just think it's got an interesting album. And I've kind of tried to get hold of some of her other stuff, but she seems to be quite hard to get. She doesn't seem to have a lot of stuff online to kind of listen to. I mean, she's one of those artists who kind of keeps it for the physical releases.
It's kind of like the Alice in Wonderland version of Beast of Burden. That whole Beast of Burden, but without the rock part, right? Obviously, the pop, poppy.
It's a whole album like that.
That particular album is, yeah. But the stuff I've heard of her from like her previous albums is very country. So it's quite a contrast to what she's kind of done before, I think. Yeah. And she's like, I think this was like her fifth or sixth album. So she's been around a little while. Yeah.
Very cool. It's definitely fun. That was a very fun light track. I could imagine Emily really enjoying that too and going, it's pretty cool. This is not the old music you normally listen to, Dad.
Oh, funny. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, Ian, what have you got?
Okay, round two. I'm going to give you this guy, and I'm pretty sure you all know all about him, and so do our listeners, I would imagine. But I thought just use the opportunity to plug him, which was the idea, right?
Yep, absolutely.
Because I think he slips under the radar a lot, and every album I've ever heard of his is awesome, like really primo, you know.
Is it Ian Wallace?
It's Ian Wallace.
Yes.
I'm so good.
The Superfly himself.
Yeah, you got it. How did you know?
Why not?
Because why not? But this guy.
Why not plug it?
I think if he was still alive, he probably would want to be like me. No doubt. But this. I'll give you a little taste test. Just see if you guys can guess it. I'm sure you know. Let's see how good you are. Soft summer breeze makes me think of my. I've got three blank faces looking at me on the screen.
Yeah. Who is that, Ian?
Right. That is the most magnificent JJ Cale.
Ah, right.
Yeah. You got it?
Yeah. I know who JJ Cale is. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
He sounded different.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I want to plug him, you know, because he does cocaine and he does what's the other one he does after midnight, what Eric Clapton always rips him off.
Yes, he does.
His albums, Troubadour's a really good album, and he's got another one as well which I really like. It's got a picture of a raccoon on the cover, and he's JJ Cale's really good. I think if you like guitar music and you think Clapton's a bit, I don't know, a bit shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You think he's a bit Magnolia, then I would go to the source, which would be JJ Cale. And he's just pick any album and I guarantee you'll enjoy it.
I've heard that term Magnolia a few times now. What is that all about? What does that mean?
Well, it's like a beige, isn't it? like beige, like paint, beige paint, Magnolia. It's like popular in the '70s because it was inoffensive.
Yeah, it's kind of neither here nor there, is it?
It's vanilla. It's vanilla.
It's vanilla. Yeah.
Oh dear. So how did he get so popular then?
Who? Clapton.
Clapton. Yeah.
Oh, I think it's just he was. Oh, I think probably his early days, the Yardbirds and all that stuff. Maybe I don't know.
Right man at the right place, sort of thing.
Right man at right time. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and he's a good player, but yeah, I think JJ Cale's better because that's who he mimics a lot of. So, and one of the best things I ever read about JJ Cale, because I read a little bit about him, and he was a real man of the road. You know, like he was one of those guys rolled his cigarettes and walked around with a little leather case and a guitar, that sort of dude. And his wife, as soon as she got interviewed, they said, "Oh, it must be amazing, you know, listening to him play his guitars and things on these albums," because they lived in a little wooden sort of hut, I think. And she said, "Oh, it's not bad, but you should hear him live on the porch." I love that. Live on the porch with a dog or something.
Yeah.
And therefore you all miss out, but I get the best. Yeah.
That's it. So JJ, yeah. Sir JJ Cale, yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah, no, that's awesome. Awesome. What a good way to end part one. Part one. Listeners, tune in for another episode later this week when we'll cover off our final selections of the late greats, and we'll get back to you soon. Drop us a line on the old Facebook channel with your faves as well. That'd be great. All right. See you then. Do as I command and tell